So what do you think we'll be opening?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. And so if you turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, we will see what the Word of God says. I'm reminded, and oftentimes hopefully remind you, that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. The truth being first and foremost, Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And of course, he is the living word, isn't he? How wonderful that is. As we read through the epistles, clearly as they point to Christ, the emphasis of this particular book, the book of Colossians, is literally to focus on the centrality of Christ. You'll hear me use that phrase repeatedly, that we believe that Christ should be the center of everything. And this is really the fundamental point of this book, is it really is telling us that Christ is all in all. If you look with me in Colossians in chapter 2, Paul is actually bringing to thought to the Colossians that the world's going to come in and make you try to think the way that they think. But we've made Christ all in all. And so it reads this way in Colossians in chapter 2 in verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through the philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Well, there's a lot of things and a lot of ways that the world acts. They have their ways of doing things. We understand that. But we've come to Christ. Now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and those things have passed away and new things have come. That in Christ we live a different way. We walk by faith, not by sight. We put our trust in God. And so, though the world might do things another way, which is understandable, we don't. For instance, we don't work for money. And some of you are going, wow, I didn't know that. No, actually, you don't work for money. You work to glorify God. We believe God to be the supplier, therefore we work for him. And so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, we do for the glory of God. And Colossians is going to be emphasizing this, and it reads this way in verse 9, for in him, that is Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you've been made complete. He is the head over all rule and all authority. Now, once again, I think the world would tell you that and compartmentalize Christ, well, he's just about religion. No. He's over all authority. In fact, if you go back into chapter 1, it says this in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and what?
For him.
That's a different way of thinking. The world doesn't think that way. And so we believe that all things are in him. And our focus is always in Christ. When the church builds the church, it is for Christ. It's that his name would be exalted. And we want to do it his way. We don't want to do it. As Jesus will say to Peter, I will build my church. So we believe that God builds the church. We don't build the church, right? We trust him. And it's one of the reasons why the way that we have gone about in our building is we just say, however the Lord moves your heart, you know, that's the way you should give. If in fact I go into this fundraising mode in which I try to generate you to give. Now you're giving out of guilt, or you're giving because you like Pastor Gary, which we get no money that way. But there are all kinds of other reasons why a person is giving, which takes us away from the centrality of Christ, which really takes you away from having a relationship with God. If you're giving for any other reason but because you love God, then you shouldn't be giving. This should be about your relationship with God. It shouldn't be about us producing an end, so to speak. I say all this to remind you that But that's what we're always going to be focused on as a church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul makes a statement in which he said, of first importance, I present you the gospel. And he proclaims this wonderful gospel. When he writes at the very beginning of the Corinthians, he says, look, I came to you knowing nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. The focus has always been on that. And though the world sees it as foolishness, this is what we proclaim. And Acts chapter 4, the apostles will say, look, there is salvation in no other. There's no other name given among men whereby we must and could be ever saved. Our faith is in him and our trust is in him. And we believe in him. We need to abide by that in the everyday decisions that we make. And so, though there may be good, if I can use this in quote marks, good institutions out there, for us to be a part of anything out there, it would have to be that Christ was central, that he was elevated, that he was the one that was being focused. And for that, I would say, and I would applaud, and I would say how wonderful this is, the church is behind this. However, if at any point in time, any organization, no matter how altruistic or philanthropic their behavior is, how benevolent they are to any kind, if they take away the centrality of Christ, to us, they've just lost the message. And in losing the message and calling themselves perhaps Christian, I feel like they've undermined Christianity, because Christianity is about following Christ. The very word itself, Christian, means that you're a follower of Christ. And that's what we proclaim. You know that I've often had a kind of a soapbox mentality on fundraising. And so I thought it would be a good opportunity for me to just clarify to you why I don't believe fundraising is something that is Christian. And so I'm going to give you some reasons. If you want to take notes, it's fine with me. I'm not going to make a sermon out of it, but I'm just going to give you some fundamental reasons. I don't believe fundraising is good or Christian because of the fact that it indiscriminately takes money from everyone and anyone. And by virtue of that, here again, if you in fact call yourself a Christian organization, if you're taking money from anyone, then it becomes indiscriminate in the sense of who takes credit for it. For instance, you have in Genesis chapter 14, where the king of Sodom comes up to Abraham, and he says, look, I want to give you something. He goes, I'm not going to take anything from you, lest you think in any way that you had anything to do with this victory. You'll see the same thing taking place in Ezra chapter 4. In which Zerubbabel and Yeshua, in that particular text, who's the high priest at that time, different ones are coming up to them, foreigners are coming up, and they said, we want to help build the temple. And they said, no, we're not going to take any money from you. And they literally use this phrase, you have no part in this work. Now, the point of the matter is that the world sees that we can do something good by doing this, and what we're saying is, no, giving is a privilege. Giving is something that the saints do because they love God and they trust in him. It's not something that we do to get something accomplished. We may get something accomplished in the process, but God moves your heart and the blessing goes to you because you obeyed God. You listened to him. You drew closer to him because you trusted in him and because he told you to do something. If he didn't tell you to do it, don't do it. We don't want you to do anything. But if he tells you, if he moves your heart, so that's a relationship that only believers can have. Can the ungodly have that kind of relationship? I don't know if you know the answer to that question, but the answer is no. The unbelievers can't have that kind of relationship. So in 3 John, to give you another example, in particular in verse 7, talks about those who went out for the sake of the name. Now listen how it reads. And they would not accept anything from the Gentiles. What fundraising does is it just indiscriminately takes from whoever wants to give. And though that's the way the world does, that's the philosophy of the world, I get it. That's the philosophy of the world. That's not the way of the church. Because when you're participating in that which is supportive of God's ministry, You are moving according to the Spirit. You're moving according to faith, not according to fundraising. The second reason I would say that we're against it is because that it makes money the focus. Fundraising is all about money. Have you noticed that? So when people come together, and really the ultimate goal becomes the amount. It's why they have the graphs and thermometers and all those kind of things. So why? Because as long as we reach this goal, we've won. But in Christianity, our goal is the act of giving itself. And this is why Jesus will, in a passage like Luke 21, when the disciples are going, wow, look at all that money. And he goes, you see that widow? Why do you think he does that? Because what he's saying is, it's the act of giving that's important, not the amount that you give. If it was all about the amount that you give, then Jesus would be saying clearly something else. Look, let's point to all these people that are giving a lot more. And we know, according to Matthew chapter 6, there were those that would literally announce when they would give. And, of course, we see people, you know, they get prominent positions because, I mean, you give more, you get a bigger star. Or your name's bigger in the paper or whatever. Because you gave more. But here again, fundamentally, fundraiser is not, it's about the money. It's not focusing on God. It's focusing on the money. And because of that, it's not focusing on the act of giving in the relationship once again. Third reason I would say is that we don't go for the whole fundraising thing is that in fundraising, for the issue that you're dealing with, or the perhaps it might even be given to missionaries, but whatever you're doing, what you're doing is you're going to man in fundraising instead of to God. So one of the things that we'll ask you to do, whether it be missions or whatever, is we'll say, why don't you go talk to God and see what he wants you to do. I mean, I've had people come up to me and go, Pastor, how much do you need? I go, I'm not going to tell you what I need. Listen to God. Let him tell you what you want to give. If I tell you what I need, then you're coming to me. I don't want you coming to me. Listen to God, what he wants you to do. If you're going to man rather than to God, then you're talking to the wrong people. You're praying to man. Fundraising is praying to man. We pray that you'll give. We almighty giver. You should be praying to God. God, what would you bless me with? Paul will say, you know, in Philippians chapter 4, this increases your account. And as you go into 2 Corinthians in chapter 9, you know, God abundantly supplies whatever is needed as you give. God loves a cheerful giver, right? So once again, it's focusing on the wrong things. And then I would say this, in fundraising, it becomes obligatory. That is to say, you feel like it's an obligation, it's an act of compulsion, it's not an act of the Spirit. Sometimes in fundraising, you almost feel embarrassed if you don't give a certain amount. This isn't why you should give at all. You're giving your desire to give of what God has given you. Should all be because you love God. If you don't love God, don't give in this church. Let me just emphasize, you're not giving to this church to pay our bills. I mean, if we had to close the doors and we couldn't meet in a building, that's fine with me. But when you give, you're giving to God. And if your heart's not moved to do it, don't do it. But I can't see a heart not moved if they love God. I mean, your heart's going to be moved to it. But if I have to get up here and somehow coerce you to give, what am I asking you to do? Who am I asking you to trust in? And let me say this. If this church isn't walking by faith, then how can we expect you to walk by faith? And so we've tried to never make fundraising an issue at all. We'll let you know about needs. But then we just leave it in the hands of God. And there have been many a times where we've come to almost the bottom line. We've never not paid our bills.
We haven't been paid.
But we've come to a point in which we didn't think we were going to make it. And I would have thought that would have been a good time to talk to you, but I could hear the Spirit of God, don't go talk to them. Talk to me. And we come before the Lord. He's always met our needs. I mean, we have far more than we need right now. I have nothing to do with that. God placed on your hearts. And that, to me, is a testimony that you love him. We don't believe in fundraising. Fundraising is, to me, diabolically opposed to walking by faith. You believe God wants something done? Talk to him. Go talk to him. And let me emphasize this, as Matthew 6 would emphasize, in your closet. Not in front of everybody. Oh, God, help people to give. No, go in your closet and pray and trust him. Father, we give you thanks for your word and your direction in these things. And Lord, may we walk as believers, not as the world, the philosophies of the world, the elementary things of the world. It's the way the world behaves. We understand that. But we walk by faith, not by sight. Lord, help that to ever be the way this church walks. In Jesus' name, amen.